Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join me for this weekend devotion as we consider the foundational basis of our Christian faith, expressed so profoundly in the three solas. This is part two. Let's pray. Almighty God, Word made flesh, let us come to this Word open to being surprised. Silence our agendas, we pray. Banish our assumptions. Cast out our casual detachment. Confound our expectations. Clear the cobwebs from our ears and penetrate the corners of our hearts with this Word. We know that you can, and so we pray that you will, in Jesus' name. Amen. We have two readings for today, and they're both from the NIV. The first is Psalm 119, verse 89 to 96, and verse 105. Your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. You establish the earth, and it endures. Your laws endure to this day, for all things serve you. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have preserved my life. Save me, for I am yours. I have sought out your precepts. The wicked are waiting to destroy me, but I will ponder your statutes. To all perfection I see a limit, but your commands are boundless. Verse 105 says, Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. The second reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verse 4. Jesus answered, It is written, Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Just to there, and may God bless his word to us now and always. This is part two of our look at the three solas, or three alones. From a Reformed perspective, there are actually five solas, two of which we covered by way of introduction in part one, namely Christ alone and for God's glory alone. All five solas are considered to be interdependent and structurally inseparable. For this reason, there is no actual ranking of importance because they all rely on each other to make sense. Nevertheless, Reformed theologians often organize them in a specific logical and theological order to explain how a person may be saved. So, of the three remaining, Scripture alone comes first because it is the source of knowledge. We cannot know about grace alone or faith alone without Scripture revealing them to us. Scripture establishes the authority for the other teachings. As we consider the remaining three solas, we discover that they answer the questions, How am I saved? And how should I live as a follower of Jesus Christ, who died for me on the cross? And so let's look at the notion of Scripture alone. More often than not, at the root of any struggle people may experience to live out their Christian faith effectively and confidently is a flawed or incorrect understanding of the role and nature of the Bible in the life of the believer. This is compounded by misunderstanding or misinterpreting Scripture. What launched the Reformation in the beginning was a growing unease over the claims that the Pope was infallible and that his utterances were not to be questioned, including unbiblical practices, notably that of the selling of indulgences. Up to that point, most ordinary folk had no clue about the Bible. They were essentially at the mercy of the clergy, who were the designated interpreters of Scripture. The Reformation served to disrupt the status quo, and the term Scripture alone reflects the move towards the idea of the sole authority of Scripture. It was held that the Bible must be interpreted through itself, with one area of Scripture being useful for interpreting others, and to show the unity of Scripture as a whole. As all doctrines are formed via scriptural understandings, all doctrines must align with Scripture, meaning that they are first subject to Scripture before the believer can begin to apply them. This would ultimately imply that every person should have access to the Word of God. So, Scripture, or the Word of God, began to take on an important role in that it was viewed as the final say on all matters of faith and life, which is what we also affirm when we come into membership, are called to eldership, or into the ministry. As we read in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, Scripture alone is so powerfully emphasized by Jesus as he resists Satan in the wilderness. Three times he countered the temptations of Satan with the words, "It is written." And in our reading, he quotes Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, saying, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." With these things in mind, we need to ask this question: where does Scripture get its authority? There are at least two ways we may understand the authority of Scripture. Either Scripture derives its authority by virtue of the fact that we allow it to guide our lives, meaning we give it authority. In this way, it does have authority over us. But when it offends our sensibilities or no longer suits us, it may cease to have authority, at least in the area where we feel we need to retain our views. Or, Scripture is authoritative in and of itself, whether we submit to it or not. From this perspective, it speaks to us and stands over us, independent of our consent or opinions. Augustine, in the 4th and 5th century AD, said, "If you believe what you like in the gospel and reject what you like, it is not the gospel you believe, but yourself." This second position is where we ought to stand, that Scripture is authoritative in and of itself. Next, we need to answer the question, how do we view God's Word? On the one hand, for some people, the whole Bible is understood literally. This means they hold to the idea that the Scriptures are mechanically inspired. As such, the authors were simply like printers, receiving a message from the computer. There is nothing of the human author to be seen. Even though those who see the Bible this way do believe that Jesus Christ is the living Word of God, and that the Scriptures are inspired by God and have a unique authority, a literal understanding of all that is written can be somewhat problematic, since quite important factors are not always given due consideration in the process of interpretation. Factors such as the language, the historical and cultural context, which already make the Bible hard to understand, not to mention figures of speech, such as idioms, metaphors, or hyperbole, that are not easily transferable to our modern world, and so on. To ignore these factors has and will lead to poor understandings of Scripture, which are more harmful than helpful, and therefore a problem for the idea of Scripture alone. On the other hand, the Reformed perspective subscribes to the idea of verbal inspiration, which maintains that in revealing himself and communicating his will, God's sovereign oversight extended to the very words chosen by fallible human authors without bypassing their unique personalities, cultures, and styles. Martin Luther in one place said, "The Scriptures, although they too are written by men, are neither of men nor from men, but from God," reflecting the view that Scripture is fully the Word of God and fully the words of human beings, operating in perfect harmony together. This view of the Bible also believes that Jesus Christ is the living Word of God and that the Scriptures are inspired by God and have a unique authority. The language, the historical and cultural context are properly taken into account in order to allow Scripture to speak to us without us imposing our thoughts on it, And again, Scripture needs to interpret Scripture. This latter view seems to be the sounder option for God's people to follow in reading the Bible. Finally, we should also bear in mind that the Bible testifies to its own authority. Apart from the fact that the Bible has been found to be a fairly reliable historical document, in that references to various historical events have been found in the records of other ancient nations, an internal testimony exists as to the origins and importance of Scripture, a testimony we cannot simply ignore. Here are a few examples. In Psalm 119, verse 160, the psalmist testifies, saying, "All your words are true, all your righteous laws are eternal." 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 to 21 tells the church, "Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation, for prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." With regard to its importance, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to 17, Paul tells Timothy that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. A high view of Scripture will result in God's gracious attention. In Isaiah chapter 66, verse 2, the second part, God says, "This is the one I esteem, he who is humble and contrite in spirit, and trembles at my word." As we draw to a close, we return to Psalm 119, verse 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." Scripture alone calls us to a radical and total commitment on our part to walking in the light of the Word of God, so that our journey in this world may be guided by Him. This implies a commitment to first rightly dividing or interpreting Scripture, and then second, to obey what we hear from God's Word, even when it's not comfortable to do so. To do otherwise is, in the view of one commentator, idolatrous, since we seek guidance from sources other than God. He says, and I quote, "Is this not, in principle, the essence of all our idolatry? By taking first recourse to other helps and supports, we subtly confess the inadequacy and insufficiency of Yahweh to handle our dilemmas." The moment the church, you or I, abandon the idea of Scripture alone, we are going to be in a world of trouble. If God went to the effort of giving us a glimpse of His will through Scripture, it should surely make us sit up and take notice. I pray that we will find God's Word to be sufficient in every way as we continue to live in our world, and so may God help us. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, help us to say with your Son, our Lord Jesus, "I do not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." We thank you that you call us anew to throw ourselves on your grace and mercy by embracing your word as the final say in our lives, in all matters of life and faith. And so may our journey forevermore be by Scripture alone. In Jesus' name, Amen. And God bless you.